This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today we have a fabulous show in store for you. And for those of you who know me well, you know that I love talent. And I love shows like Canada's Got Talent, American Idol, AGT, X Factor, The Voice, all of it. I can never get enough of it. So I'm so excited to have a special guest with us today. So Maya is a 16-year-old singer and songwriter with 10 years of experience. She began her musical journey at age 6, and she has since performed in singing competitions all across Israel, Europe, and Canada. In 2023, she participated in Canada's Got Talent and earned a golden buzzer and reached the semifinals, which is phenomenal. This past summer, Maya attended Berklee College of Music's Aspire 5-week music performance intensive program on scholarship. With a passion for music, Maya is excited to continue pursuing her career as an artist and sharing her, and I will add this word, beautiful music with the world.
Oh, thank you.
Maya, welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you. How are you, Judy?
Nice to see you. So great to have you here. I am a big fan, I can tell you this.
Oh my God, thank you. Oh, that means a lot to me.
Maya, you've been singing since you were a little girl. Do you remember the first time you performed on stage and what that felt like for you?
Ooh, yeah, I actually do. I have a couple of memories. There was the first time I debuted solo on stage, and there was the first time I went on stage with a group of people. For me, those felt like two different experiences, like completely. I think the first time was in a choir, and at that time, right before, my parents noticed that, you know, I have this thing for not just singing, for performing in front of people. They used to tell me stories, and I actually have some videos of when I was around 3, and I would pull up a chair and stand up on it and be like, attention everyone, I want to sing right now. So after that, my parents got a hint that maybe they should do something with it, and I went to this music school in Israel. That's where I lived at that time. I was born in Israel. And they put me in this choir. And the first time, I remember being so happy. And I knew all my words. I knew everything. I'm like, I'm so ready to do this. I went on stage with everyone. And I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit of a show-off when I was a kid. So I was like, okay, my time to shine. But I think it was time I humbled myself a little bit.
You need a little bit of that. That's actually a very, very good thing. We actually have a clip of you singing the song Summertime as a little girl. We're just going to play about a minute of that because it's pretty awesome. Good. And you were only, seven years old at the time?
I think I was 8. If you'd like, I can talk about how I chose this song and how it came to be.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, basically, at that time, I had a very, very good teacher. And what I loved about him is he always liked to challenge me. And again, as a kid, I was this, you know, like I had a very big personality and I was like, I don't need this. I don't need that. And you were like, no, let's try it. And the challenge was, Maya, how about like we take the song and we do half of it like classically and half of it jazzy. And I'll get into a little more musical terms, but I was always chest voice dominated, which just means I like to belt a lot. I'm more of a, like, you know, speaky kind of voice than just like So especially the classical part was so new to me and it was so hard for me. Oh, not only just as a kid, but just overall, even to this day, I actually tried this song with Elaine and it's still kind of hard. I do it in a very different way now, but I had to do a lot of exercises. Like I took this very seriously. Each and every day I did breathing exercises so I can make my lungs bigger so I can hold the notes better. And when the performance finally came, I was so nervous because, okay, first part, the jazzy part was easy. And then I have to go into this classical. And then you'll see it in the video. But at the end, I took such a big, like, really
breath
gasp of relief.
We're going to play the full clip of Summertime. And this is Maya at 8 years old singing her. And I really get what you're saying about, because there are two very different voices, the chest voice and the head voice. And you are a chest voice singer. So working on that head voice, what a beautiful challenge. Yeah. I know you've got it now because I've heard you do all of it. So
I try.
And we're going to talk about Elaine. When Maya mentioned Elaine, she was talking about vocal coach to the stars, Elaine Overholt, who's an amazing person and a friend and a friend to this show. And so we're going to talk about her as well later on. But without further ado, let's have a listen to now 8-year-old Maya singing Summertime. So unbelievable. Even more so is the fact that you were only 8 years old at the time. It's pretty incredible. You know, Maya, what I loved about reading about your story and researching you is you've really had a fascinating life story and you've lived a lot for someone who's so young. You're 16 years old now. Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood? What led you to coming to Toronto at 10 years old? That must have felt like such a culture shock and very overwhelming. Can you take us back to that time and tell us what that was like for you?
100%. I grew up in Israel and I lived my life more or less comfortably. My parents always made sure that, you know, I was having a great time. They always put me in the extracurriculars, like, you know, singing and dancing. And I remember there was times where I couldn't even go home to eat. I would just go to my grandparents' car and then I would just eat food as we're driving to the next place. We moved to Canada mostly because my parents, again, wanted a better future for me and my brother. And they realized that Canada is able to offer much more opportunities and much better environment in terms of, again, opportunities mostly. When I came here, I had no English whatsoever.
Wow.
And you can hear even in my recording of Summertime, that was in Israel. I memorized these words and I knew the meaning of them because my dad explained it to me, but I didn't know a word of English. I had like an English teacher, but again, as a child, very stubborn, very bold and very, I don't need this. So I didn't quite pay attention. So I came to Canada and I came to school. I'm like, I can't say a word to them. They can't understand a word I'm saying. And it was a big deal. So for a while, it was very hard to adapt. And to this day, I find myself struggling despite it being 6 years. It was definitely hard because, you know, there's not only what I experienced. My whole family had to go through like this changing period. And I saw how it changed my parents. And I saw how it affected me. And I also had a little brother. So most of the time, my parents were busy with just making sure that there's food on the table. And I had to not only take care of myself, but of my brother, too. And I'm not here to pity myself or anything. I think my parents did their best. And I think I did my best. And I think everything turned out to be well. But it was definitely hard. But I think it made me stronger, definitely. And I think it made me more independent. And through that, I realized that some things are achievable. Like going from zero English in an environment where everyone speaks English and to now talking to you and being able to say all these words that I'm saying right now. And maybe
You're terrific. I want to tell you something. I think it's unbelievable. And just exemplary is the word I was thinking of. You see, even I, who lived here all my life, don't always have the words. But I know that there was something that saved your life. And it's a very powerful thing. And that was music. And you would come home from school every day, no matter what kind of a day you had. You would go with your dad, who played the guitar, and you would sing. Can you tell us what that was like for you and how that really was a savior in a way?
I mean, my dad has played guitar since before I was born. And let me tell you, he doesn't like to talk about this, but he was a musician, you know, before he found my mom, before they fell in love, and he realized, oh, I should probably be a little bit more responsible. He was a not so responsible guy, not in a bad way, but I mean, I think he used to have a friend, and he actually wrote songs, and I even listened to one of his songs because he recorded it, and it was this, like, Russian ballad, but, you know, like, it was good. And I remember even as a kid, again, I have so many videos. I don't know why I didn't send you all of them, but I have videos of him just strumming and me just singing along to it. And he'll be like, no, that's wrong. Try it again. So I think for a while, my dad was my singing teacher. And when I came to Canada, again, the world was overwhelming. And I didn't have friends that spoke English, right? I had some friends from other places that spoke my native language. But after school, I came and I always sang. It was an escape. I don't know if it's, you could call it a savior. Mm-hmm. It is in a way. I think definitely. I think I would have been so much more lost if I didn't have a goal in mind. And my goal was just music. I can't say that my goal was to become a singer or something like that. But I feel like my goal was to come home and sing a song and get better and do some more. And before I could just sing and sing and sing and sing. But then lately, I've been getting more into like other aspects of being a musician. As I realized, singing is not the only thing you can do. And when you have something like a piano or a guitar, and if you learn those instruments, that gives you so much more tools to work.
Like Elaine says,
yeah,
right. Like Elaine Oberholt always says, a singer's great, but if you can play the piano or the guitar, you're already soaring an extra edge.
I completely agree with that. Before I was like, no, it's little Maya was very like, I can do anything. But as I grew up, I realized, you know, no, there are some things that you have to know and have to do in order to call yourself a musician. You can call yourself a singer, but to be a musician, you need to know more than just one aspect of music is what I believe personally.
Yes. Maya, did you start to share some of this with your friends at school? And I know it probably was hard in the beginning, but once there were talent competitions or plays at your school or anything like that, did you allow these friends and these classmates to see that there is a whole other side to Maya Ganzu?
Definitely, yes. Actually, again, music was my everything at the beginning, and it was one of my only ways to communicate. So actually, since the very beginning, since I came to Canada, there was always some little like, let's do a showcase and something. And then I would sing and people would always be like, wow, Maya, you're so good. They might have been praising me a little too much. I didn't deserve that at that time, definitely. But from the very beginning, as much as it sounds bad, that's why I gained friends, because I didn't know any other way. But not in a bad way, but in a way that people would notice me through singing because I couldn't.
Of course.
Does that make sense? I could only express
my emotions. I love that.
Like who I am through singing because, you know, there I had to memorize words, there I had to actually showcase, you know. So, yeah.
I love that. I'd love to hear about your journey to Canada's Got Talent. And if you could take us behind the scenes to how that all evolved, because that is huge, especially with this background of really the beginnings of a language barrier. And not only did this unbelievable performance, but all the exciting things that happened that we're going to share with our audience. First of all, can you take us back to what was that audition process like? How did you find out you were going to be on the show? Did you find out by email or by phone? How did all that happen?
Funny story, actually. I auditioned a year before. I sent a song. I think I didn't send the same song as I did the next time, but I sent a song. I prepared a big speech and I memorized it all. I sent it from the camera. I did it all. I got no reply. I was genuinely disappointed. I was like, no, man, I put so much effort into it.
What happened?
And then the next year, it was right. Me transitioning from grade 8 to high school, right? So it's a big, big jump. And also at the same time, it was summer and I was doing this opera thing. I was focusing more on my head voice as we talked a little bit before. Like my mom was like, Maya, you should try again. And I was like, I don't want to be disappointed again, but fine. So what I did is I'm like, you know, I'm just going to talk about what I want to talk. And I put some pointers down to answer some of their questions. And I just sat down and for like, I think, I don't know how much, don't quote me on this, but I think like it was a long time. I sat there for like 30 minutes and I talked. And then I also sent some videos of my performances and I sent it all away. And then I went to Niagara Falls with my mom to the trip she was having. And I'm like, ah, that's it, I'm done. And then I get a reply. And the reply is, hello, Maya, we are the producers of the show. The songs you sent us, they have no audio. Can you send us again? With the audio? And I'm like, no way. So I send them with the audio. And from there, we went through the process. And honestly, I think the process was great. They were very nice to me. I went to some other shows. Definitely Kent's the Talent stood out to me in a way that treated me like a person. That's why I'm very grateful for them, is that they were very patient and they're very nice and they sent me stuff to do.
Kind.
And it was a lot of work that I can't deny. I spent like, and the thing is, my parents didn't help me. Like, it was fully my responsibility to send everything they need, to record everything they need, to do all the interviews. But oh man, it was worth it. And then for when the actual audition came in, right? And that was.
How would you describe that day being there? Because we see some of this in the clip, and I'm going to play actually the full clip of your Canada's Got Talent audition for the audience, and they can always go and check it on YouTube and see it, the actual video of it. But I want them to hear because it's so cool and it's so exciting. But just tell us about, were you nervous? What was it like being there that day, knowing you were about to audition for Canada's Got Talent on live television, on national television? It's a big deal.
Yeah, honestly, I think the moment that it was confirmed that I'm going to be on that stage, at first I was like, that's like the next audition, not the actual stage. And actually for 2 days, I was like, okay, that's the next step, right? And then I read this email again with my dad and with my singing teacher. We're like, no. No, this is the actual thing. This is it. And I'm like, and I think I genuinely used up all my nerves the month before the performance because I would get this like anxiety out of nowhere and then I'll be like, sing, 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 sing. And I practice until it went away. On the day, we had to be on set very, 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 like 7 a.m. So we came to Niagara Falls the day before, right? I slept. I was so grumpy. I was like, Dad, don't put your audio book. Mom, don't watch a video. I need to sleep and I need to sleep now. But I was nervous and angry. So the next day, actually, I remember this movie, we made like a protein bar or something. We went there and they were actually really nice. Like, snacks everywhere, coffee, tea. It was really good. But I actually didn't feel that nervous. Like, I had my interview right before my audition and oh man, we went great. I feel like that day actually went so good. I don't know. I got lucky. I felt great and I didn't expect a golden buzzer at all. In fact, wow. My dad didn't even know what a golden buzzer is. it's so funny because I explained it to him like 15 minutes before I went on stage. I was explaining to him the difference between a yes and a no, and that three yeses means yes, four yeses means yes, but two yeses, and then there's the golden buzzer. And we made like a thing. Yeah.
Which means
they didn't put this on the actual show, but we had like a debate. I said, I wanted an Apple Watch at the time. I'm like, that if I get four yeses, I get an Apple Watch. And when I was like, okay, but if you get a golden buzzer, then you don't get an Apple Watch. I'm like, how does that make sense? He's like, because you got the golden buzzer. He's like, okay, whatever. And I got it. So it was incredible.
Did you get the Apple Watch? Did you get the Apple Watch? Good, 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 good. Okay, without further ado, I want to play this audition because it really says it all. So let's all have a listen to Maya's full audition on Canada's Got Talent. And listen to how she sings, because it's insane.
Thank you.
Let's roll that clip.
I'm Maya Gamzu. I'm from Toronto.
Due to international copyright law, podcasts are unable to include music. Music can only be played on the live radio broadcast. Finding Your Bliss airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to hear this artist's music, you can find the link to our Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud in the episode description.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Okay. So I love that. And you are a powerhouse and your voice is phenomenal. And I loved your audition. You wore that beautiful purple suit with the green top and you stood out and you looked beautiful and you sounded incredible.
Thank you.
It really was fantastic. And so it was so exciting. We're going to go on a short commercial break, more with Maya Gamzu and Finding Your Bliss when we come back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740. And we're joined by singing sensation and rising star Maya Gamzu. And just before the break, Maya, we were talking about your audition on Canada's Got Talent and that incredible golden buzzer moment. You said you had no words. How did you feel when Cardinal pressed that golden buzzer? I'm sure you never get tired of hearing that.
I honestly, like, you know, as every person with an imagination, like I was imagining it in my head right before I went to like audition. I have this thing, I haven't talked about this anywhere else, but since COVID, when you know, when after we were allowed to go outside finally, I would go yes. to the swings and I would swing with AirPods and music, and for some reason it gets me into this imaginary state. And there was times where I imagined that I would get the golden buzzer and I was like, ah, but then it was actually happening. Like the moment he stood up, I had a hint, right? Because
yes.
I've watched so many American Got Talent, the previous Canada Got Talent season. I was like, no way. This is actually happening in real life. I was so
flabbergasted. It was surreal. It was surreal, right?
It was completely surreal. And when I said I had no words, I genuinely had no words. I was speechless and just trying to understand that all those people stood up for me, they gave me a standing ovation, and that not only did I come through, which is something that, like, you know, not a lot of people were able to do. And last year, like the year before, I was not even like, they didn't even reach out like again. And here I am sitting on the yes. stage, and Cardinal Official is right next to me, press the wow. golden buzzer, and I'm just like, I'm just a 14-year-old caller girl. Like, what am I doing here? But actually, that day was so emotionally hard for me. I went home and I cried. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And It was a lot.
Even good emotion can be a 100%. Lot, right? It's not just, you know, it was the best news and the best of everything, but it's a lot for a little kid. When it aired, what did people in your school say, your teachers and students and friends, when they saw this? Like, this is one of their peers who just got the golden buzzer. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, people somehow found out before, because I think one or two people from my school went to the actual show when it happened. So people just started coming up to me and they're like, "You are a Kansas Got Talent." I'm like, I can't say legally anything yet. I'm sorry. But when it aired, a lot of people watched, obviously, friends and not friends. All the teachers got to know. And to this day, it haunts me in my school. Like, I go to my school and they're like, "I know you." And at the time, I was in grade 9. And I had second semester, right after the semifinals, I had a gym class. And gym class in grade 9, you know, it's very relaxing. And so people would put on my audition as, like, the background songs.
Oh, no.
Everywhere I went, like, when I had free time, like, the guys especially, they would pull up my song and they'd be like, "Is that you?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." But it was nice. And it was most touching. A lot of my friends supported me for voting. And a lot of my closest friends went with me to the actual audition twice, for the semifinals and for the actual audition, even though it's hard, right? Going from Toronto to Niagara Falls. And especially, they went with my parents. Like, they didn't come with their parents. So that was a journey. I'm forever grateful for those two friends. They're my biggest supporters.
That's so lovely.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of training. It's so fantastic. Congratulations on that achievement, because that's like everything. That's just it, right? And how would you say your training, how much training goes into something like this? And how did you train for this huge national television show? I know we share a wonderful person. We mentioned her a little bit before, celebrity vocal coach Elaine Overholt. She is a big, big fan of yours. You should see the email that she sent to me about you.
Elaine.
I know. I love Elaine. She's the bomb. Can you tell us what it's been like working with the incredible, sort of famous, legendary, let's call her legendary, Elaine Overholt?
Oh, my God. So the first time I got a session to talk with her, I sent her like a big email saying, "Hi, my name is Maya Gamzu, and I'd really like to work with you." And she replied very nicely, and I rescheduled a call. And the very first thing I felt was that I felt seen. And I felt understood, not only as a singer, but also as a person and as a person in the industry specifically. I don't want to sound like, "Oh, I've worked with so many people," okay? That's not the truth. But a lot of people I work with, they're either, you know, super good at technique, and they're very, like, very, very good at this music stuff, technique. And others are more like, you know, let's talk about career. I feel like Elaine is the perfect combination of both. And it baffles me each and every time. The way she finds, even like working with her. A week ago, I was singing a song and something was missing. And I worked on the technique part. And I did this stuff, but it was something that's not right. And then I sang it to her one time. And she gave me this, and this. And I'm like, "You're so right. You're so right." She's just incredible. I haven't worked with her because we started working with her last year. It's not a long time, but I feel like she knows me from inside out at this point. She's incredible in the way she understands what an artist needs. And she will be able to give it to you, not only because you know she's your teacher, but because she's just that kind of person. And I am amazed.
Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful person.
I mean, I am so glad I found her, and I'm so glad she kept me. I am so honored. And she had a show a couple of months ago, and I went to her show.
Yes, I was there.
Oh my God, I was there too.
Yes.
Because you know, I didn't know her that well at that time. And just hearing her story and how she came to be, I feel like I kind of saw myself in that story too, and how she came to be an artist. And I felt like now that I feel like I know her better, I feel like and connect with her more. And the show was incredible. The things she talked about and the things she's accomplished, that's not easy. That is so hard to do. And that is just incredible how, first of all, a woman in the industry was able to achieve that. Like, we know that being a woman in the industry is it's hard.
And of course.
The way that she has like so much, she's a strong, I don't know. She has this like radiance of strength around her. Like the first time I met her, I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I like her. Like, she's the power. Yeah.
She's got it. Yeah. Well, Elaine, we love you. And she is equally a huge fan of yours. I can tell you that as well. Okay. So let's go on with the story. Now let's fast forward to the semifinals. And I can't imagine how exciting that was. And you've already mentioned some of your friends came and you had all the support and you sing Jessie J's Domino and you kill it as always. But one of the highlights for sure, as Elaine Overholt pointed out to me, was that gorgeous high little improv in the middle, which was pretty awesome. And I actually want to play that in a minute for our audience as well. How did it feel being back on the show? And can you tell us what happened that day?
So backstory, I don't know if I talked about it before, but actually the week before I got sick. Like I was super, super, super sick. Thankfully by like my performance, I got my voice back. But before that, I had no voice. And then I was taught the choreo about like a week before. So for me, it was kind of overwhelming, singing and dancing at the same time. And also, I didn't consider myself as a pop girly. Again, like I'm more of a jazzy, but hey, I was willing to try this new thing out and try to be this pop star for once, you know, Ariana Grande style. So it was a bit of a challenge for me for sure, but it felt great. Again, the staff treats me so well, the producers, everyone. And I got to meet so much incredible people, and the actress was incredible. I got to talk with her backstage about her story and how she's another contestant at that time and how she wrote her song. And again, I was like, wow, people write their songs. At that time, I didn't write my own songs, right? So I was like, that is incredible. That day felt great too. I was definitely much more nervous because I feel like this was more out of my comfort zone. But nevertheless, I think I did a pretty good job for the song I was given. And I tried my best. That's all I know.
You did a great job. I loved it. I want to play a little clip of that high improv, that riff, that whatever that thing was. I don't know if you call it a riff or what it is, scatting, whatever it was. It was fabulous. Whistle notes. Before we listen to that clip, we're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Maya Gamzu and her semifinal performance on Canada's Got Talent, CGT, when we come back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. We're going to play a clip from Maya's semifinal performance on Canada's Got Talent. And in it, she's singing Jessie J's Domino. But I also encourage everyone to watch the full performance on YouTube. It's so fabulous. So without further ado, let's all have a listen to Maya Gamzu singing Domino.
I'm feeling pretty and free.
Wow. That was unbelievable. Oh my God, that high note, Elaine was right. That was crazy. And the fact that you danced and you were in that ponytail and you got the dancers behind you and you're singing and you're dancing and you're doing it all, what a great performance. You. So you were 14 years old when all this happened, Maya. You're 16 now. Yep. And you have some great original music that's out. And I love that you're writing and producing original music. And we have two of your songs that we want to share with your audience. The first song, which was recommended to us by vocal coach Elaine Overholt, it's called Forget It All. This is your song, Maya Gamzu's song. And the music video for this song came out 3 months ago. Can you tell us what inspired you to write this song, Forget It All? Yeah. which I think is outstanding, by the way, one of the best things I've ever heard you do. And can you set up the song for us before we share it with our audience?
Yeah, 100%. So this song was actually one of the first songs I've ever written. I wrote the song when I was visiting at Israel again. I was actually overwhelmed with a lot of emotions about, like, you know, because at that time, I haven't been in Israel for 4 or 5 years. And again, as a child, when I moved from Israel to Canada, I had to force myself to forget a lot of Israel in order to move on with my new life. I had to forget my friends. I had to forget the stuff I was doing. I was in a theater at that time. I was working and it was incredible. And I had to forget that. And I had to basically block out those memories in order to not feel hurt and be able to continue pursuing my goals in another environment with completely new things. And I did it half subconsciously, half fully aware. And the moment I came back, I got hit with this nostalgia of something that I felt I could remember, but I couldn't grasp it. And that's when it hit me that, oh, I don't remember. I was talking to my grandma and she's like, do you remember when you were a kid and you did this? I'm like, no. And even though it was happy memories, I realized that I forced myself to do this so that I could start over, because that's what I did. I started over having those emotions. The song is built on 3 chords, that is very basic. And at the time, that was all of what I was capable of. Again, like, I was starting out my journey of being a musician. And those 3 chords, they brought the feeling of the hurt mixed with nostalgia and with everything I'm experiencing right now, going back to that country and seeing the way it changed, but also not being able to recall what it looked like before. And having those feelings, that's when I wrote the song. And the first thing actually came to be is the chords for Get It All. And that's what I did. I forgot it all. And in my bridge, I sang that fire burns your lungs, but you still breathe. Memories cause you nothing but defeat. And it's kind of like a reflection of how I thought about it. Fire, like the memories, they burn your lungs, but you know, you have to still breathe. So the memories will cause you pain, so you have to forget it in order to move on.
I so understand that. I have to tell you, before we listen to this, I have family in Israel and I was just there visiting, and it's so hard saying goodbye that I really have to tear myself away when I leave. I have to tear myself away. You almost have to steel yourself. It doesn't mean you're not going to FaceTime, you're not going to look at pictures, you're not going to have great memories, but you almost have to steel yourself to get through it, or it's too painful. So I really get what you're saying.
Feelings were so complicated. The way we deal with emotions, and everyone deals it differently. For example, my cousin, who also came to Canada a couple of years after, he didn't forget. He went through the pain and, you know, he got over it. We're so different because of that. Like, I had to block out everything in order to be able to continue doing what I need to do. And he decided to feel it through and live with that pain. But at least the memories are there. For me, the memories are gone.
I'm going to say before we play this, Forget It All, you won't forget this song once you hear it. I promise you that. Let's all have a listen to Maya Gamzu's original song, Forget It All. Wow.
Thank you. Even listening back to it, I experienced all the emotions I felt when I wrote the song. It's an emotional tone.
That was absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And I see your emotion and I'm feeling it too. And I didn't write it and I didn't experience it. So that's a very powerful thing when you can make other people feel that way. And your voice is absolutely gorgeous. Really, that was just beautiful. So to fast forward even more to now, this past summer, you went to the incredible Berklee College of Music in Boston to their 5-week music performance intensive program on a scholarship. And I know it well, and it's a beautiful place. That must have been such a trip. What was your experience like in this Berklee summer program?
The whole program was filled with people like me, you know, people who loved to do, not sing, not do this. It's love to do music. And I was like, oh, this is what I've been missing, you know, because my environment right now, like, as much as we like to think that Tarola has so many stuff for singers, and they do, right? But it's not the same as being surrounded for a month and a half by people who are just exactly like you. And I honestly made so much progress there, especially with songwriting groups. I met so much incredible people, and I formed a band there, and I would like to talk more about it. And we're going to make a song together soon. Awesome. And we wrote that song actually in Berkeley. Oh. And we sat down all together. And I used to think that I prefer to write myself, right? Like write like with my own little space and just by myself. But when you meet the right people who are not only also good at music, but also they share like you have a similar soul with, and that you can relate to and you love, because I love those people now, and it's a different type of experience writing songs together.
You have a new song coming out soon called Tear Me Down, and it's really fabulous, and I want to play an excerpt of it for our audience. Can you tell us what inspired you to write this? This is your brand new song, and can you set it up for us?
This song was actually written after the whole Cancel Talent stuff. It was basically, I think, you know, with everything going on in Cancel Talent, as much as it was an incredible experience, it's a lot of pressure, a lot of negative stuff you also see about yourself, and you experience a different type of exposure than you usually do. And because of that, I had some negative emotions, you know, and instead of like being immature and like going on the internet and be like, I hate you, don't say that to me, I decided to do it creatively, and I wrote a song, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, you know, it's that type of thing. And
absolutely.
I think it really helped me move on also in a way.
I love that. Let's all have a quick listen to Tear Me Down. Oh my God. Maya, that is so fun. Your voice sounds so incredible. Love that song. When do you officially release this song, Tear Me Down? Where can our audience listen to it?
Right now, I'm not saying the date just yet, okay? But I will be saying that in a month, approximately, I'll be doing something. I've been teasing the song online. I just started, actually. And I think I'll do some of that more, you know? Hopefully, very soon, so stay tuned. Go on my...
Coming soon.
Social media. So,
what is the best way to follow you on social media so that we can keep track of when that song's dropping?
I'm most active on Instagram. I know TikTok is very popular right now, but I just can't find myself to do it. I do it, but you know, like Instagram has always been more. So if you like to follow me and my thoughts, and I usually do share my thoughts there, and that would be Instagram. Maya and then _Gamzu_official.
Maya_Gamzu_official. Awesome. I love that. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Maya Gamzu?
My happiness, it's music. And I know it sounds cheesy as hell. It is. And you know, before as a kid, I was like, that's cheesy. But I think after, especially Berkeley, and I came back here and I realized that there's nothing else I want to do in my life right now. And it just, everywhere I go, like in my room, there's a guitar behind me. There's a guitar here. There's a piano right behind this computer, you know? And you don't know about it, but I sit in school and like, oh man, I want to play right now. It's everything. And the moment I come up with something and I do something and I create even like a bit of a song or I sing, I get this unimaginable joy. That's my high. I sing it in my song. I work and cry. I die to fight. I get so high. And from the feelings that I'm experiencing.
Natural. Like it's natural high. Like, yes. Yes.
So I think that's my bliss.
So fabulous. So for those who are just tuning in or who tuned in halftime, this was supposed to be a 30-minute interview. And very shortly off the top, I realized this is a full show. And I say that because I think you are just an old soul, incredibly talented and a great person. And I really wanted to give you that platform for the full hour. So I made that decision on the spot.
It was so nice meeting you, Judy. You are incredible. This show is incredible. I've listened to some of the others and I was like blown away. And when, you know, I found out that you want to do this thing with me, I was so honored. I was like, you are incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Each week we spotlight someone incredible like Maya Gamzu, and she really is. And so if you're a singer, songwriter, or musician, reach out to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. Also, if you're an author or a dancer or a writer or mindfulness person, meditation person, therapist, life coach, we want to hear your story. Also, what did you love about today's show? Do you have any guests or topics you'd like us to share with you? And of course, you know that I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. I'm also a life coach, the Bliss Coach. That means if you're stuck and you want to find your passion, your purpose, write to me at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And as you know, you can find us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful guest, Maya Gamzu, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Eva Shabatai, Livia Vigiani, audio engineer Giuliani Anziello, and Ben Thomas, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.